Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Joe and Jamie here, continuing to talk to you about how to make the best candles possible. This week, we're going to talk about formulating and calculations, the first steps that you have to take to make the best candles.
And we hope we're going to help you and get you on your way to being candle makers.
Right. So this week, we're going to talk about how to calculate how much fragrance you need, how much wax you need, and dye, if you're going to be adding dye too. And we'll also talk about how to get the best, your wick selection. So some things I always like to say is you're going to use the algebra you never thought you'd ever use again in class. So when we make a batch, you need to know how much total fragrance and total wax you're going to have. So Jamie has a method that he uses that he's going to tell you about.
And basically, if you're running a 5% candle, a 7% candle, a 9% candle, it's going to be very difficult to keep to work on your base. Change your formulation each time if you're trying to add a little more fragrance or a little less fragrance. So what I've always done is use 100% wax and then add on top of it. Is the math 100% correct at the end of the day, saying it's a 5% or a 10% candle? No. But at the end of the day, it gives you, the candle maker, a lot more leeway and a lot more flexibility in adding additives, tweaking your formulations without having to do the heavy lifting of math all the time. You know, on a 100-gram sample or a 100-gram batch, that you're going to add your 5 grams for 5%. Makes the math a lot easier. So whenever I'm formulating, I always use 100% wax and then add my fragrance to it. And I know a lot of other people in the industry that do the same when they're working on formulations.
Right. So first thing we want you to have is an accurate scale, or a best scale you can find that has 0.01 or 0.1 of a gram or an ounce accuracy. And those you can find on Amazon pretty cheap now. I know I just bought one a couple of weeks ago for like $25. You could probably find them cheaper than that. But it's very important to have an accurate scale. So however you're going to figure your formula, that you have an accurate amount, because it's very important that the amount of fragrance and the wax you use and the dye, if you're going to use it, that you put into a candle is going to be the same formula you're going to use in the end. A lot of people sometimes do R&D certain fragrance levels, certain wax levels, and then in the end, they change it when they make their candle. But it's very important that you end up manufacturing what you're doing here in the first place. Because if you change anything, that's going to change the way it burns, perhaps the way it looks and how it functions too. So first thing you got to get yourself is a scale. Second thing we're going to talk about is pouring temperatures and different temperatures that you should pour different types of waxes. And there's no magic answer for this. It's a lot of trial and error. But the second thing I think you need is an infrared thermometer. At the very least, have a candy thermometer that you could put into hot wax. But an infrared thermometer gives you the capability to use it later, which we'll talk about later. When you're burning your candle, you want to test the outside of the glass temperature. So if you have that infrared thermometer, again, they're pretty cheap. With COVID now, they were selling these infrared thermometers for $20, and it'll suit your purposes. So Jamie, you want to talk a little bit about how pouring temperatures affect the different waxes that you use?
Well, everybody I know has a fragrance house, a wax house or a supply house that you guys are getting your stuff from, and they're going to give you some type of recommended wax temperature for their blend. Again, keep in mind, it's a recommendation. So if somebody says to you that, okay, on this blend, you should be pouring at about 140, 145 degrees, don't take that as the be-all, end-all. You're going to experiment. You're going to write down. You're going to document. They might recommend something, but your environment might be a little different. Your glasses might be thicker. Your glasses might be thinner. So take the recommended pouring temperatures as a recommendation. Then what I like to try and do is I go 20 degrees up, 20 degrees down, and that'll show me how my candle will solidify, how it'll set up, will it crater, will it not crater, will I get different results at different temperatures. So you start at whatever your manufacturer's recommended temperature is for their blend, and then play with it on your own. Document it and play with it. And that's why a good thermometer and a lot of patience is a very good thing.
Right. Well, I like what you said about, you know, having a different outcome. If you overheat your wax with a fragrance, it could modify the oils or the level of fragrances, level of ingredients that are in there, your top notes or your middle notes or your bottom notes. But if you heat it less, it may not bring out those certain notes because they need time to, you know, homogenize with the wax itself. So you got to be careful. And like I said before, you have to make sure your pouring temperature, whatever it's going to be, 160 Fahrenheit, is the same as you're going to manufacture too, because whatever the result is, similar or different, you want to be able to duplicate that in your final formula too. Another thing that comes to play with the temperature of the wax is also the temperature of the glass. Some people preheat, some people pour cold and they pour the glass a little higher temperature. Some people preheat the glass and pour it a cooling temperature. And sometimes when you pour it a cooler temperature, your dry time or your curing time, my father would never let me say dry time. Wax doesn't dry, it cures, or it cools, or it congeals, however you want to say it. So the lower you lower the pouring temperature, the less cooling time you may have.
Also, as far as heating glasses, the reason originally glasses were somebody started to preheat containers was back in the day of heavy paraffin blends. Paraffin, we all know, when it solidifies, it bubbles. It can have little chalk marks, little light lines. So candle makers, when they first started making scented candles and making them on a large scale, would encounter the problems of a paraffin going into a cold glass and not getting a very nice look on the container. Over the years, being that the blends have changed so much and the amount of paraffins have reduced drastically, veggie waxes, petrolatums, they like to adhere to the sides of the containers. So the need for preheating the container is basically less. Now, in certain blends, certain fragrances, you may want to, but I don't think it's a hard and fast rule that you must heat your containers. Sometimes what you want to do is you may want to overheat your wax a little bit. What I mean by overheat is instead of at 165, you might be at 175 to take out that chill in the container. Again, if your blend warrants it. And the only way you'll know is through the testing and documenting it. So that, again, like Joe had said, that once you take it out of your little lab and you're making it more in mass production, you could duplicate it and duplicate it easy.
Right. Documentation is key. And you're going to hear that a lot through every subject we talk about, is that there is a saying when I was working with SC Johnson back in the day, they used to tell us, if it isn't written, it never happened. So you have to record it so you can remember what you did and be able to reproduce what you do down the line. So the other thing, obviously, in the middle of the candle is our good old friend, the wick. Choosing a wick is probably the most difficult thing you're going to come up with when it comes to candle making. Because like we spoke in our intro podcast, that there are so many different types of wick to choose from. And so each family of wick, let's say the Premier 700 series, has 25 different sizes, 705, 710, 715, and so on. And we have a recommendation chart that goes with that too. But say you have a 2.5-inch diameter candle, and your next question after you formulate your wax and put your fragrances is what wick I'm going to try. So we have 4 or 5 different recommendations for a 2.5-inch candle. Let's just say 740, 745, 750. So my recommendation always to anyone who asks, where should I start? Is I say, start in the middle. Take the middle wick, 40, 45, 50. So you start at 45 and then let the candle, when you make your candle, we're going to talk about cure times and how long it should sit before you test burn. But once you choose that middle candle and your candle is ready to be burnt, you can evaluate it and say, okay, that particular wick 745 is a little too big or a little too small. And then you know you have other sizes to go to. So any series, CD series, HTP series, they all have numbers. So choose your number, that the middle number that's being recommended. Very rarely will you see one wick recommended for one type of candle, because if you're finding a chart that recommends one wick, be very leery of that, because there's a lot more into that that affects the wick, like the fragrance and the wax and how they work together. So I would always choose three wicks, choose the one in the middle, start from there. Or if you want to be very adventurous, you can make three different candles with three different wicks, which is probably more how Jamie does on a larger scale than you would do, you know, kind of as a beginner.
What I usually like to do, not only, you know, multi-wicks at a time, is multi-series. You know, like Joe had mentioned, the Premier series and other candle suppliers have the LX series or the PK series. Don't lock yourself in to one series. As a candle maker, build your arsenal of wicks so that you could try different things when you were come to a stumbling block, so that you have them handy. And this way, again, you can make a change very quickly and try to get to the right series that matches your fragrance and wax per se.
So again, once you come up with these formulations that you're going to do, and you come up with your wax blend that you like, and then there's what's called cure time. And there's a lot of controversy, for lack of a better term. It's not a heated argument, but there's a lot of opinions on how long and what types of waxes should cure longer than others. And more in reference to soy, people are saying it needs to cure up to 2 weeks. And that's fine if you want to allow your candle to burn up to 2 weeks, but I know you're more anxious to get that candle and tested sooner than later. And Jamie, I had this discussion many times. We feel 24 to 48 hours for most waxes should be fine. So when you heat a wax, you actually expand it and you kind of open up its structure. You know, I call it the molecular structure gets open. And as you cool it, it wants to return to the state that it was in originally. But in this case, you have fragrances involved. So the fragrances kind of fill in these little gaps like a sponge. And then once your candle is cured, it kind of locks your fragrance in there and it's ready to be burnt. You know, I guess we're saying 24 to 48 hours, right, Jim?
Definitely. And you're not going to see a major difference after 24 or 48 hours, minor maybe. But in my experience, I really have not seen a major change after 24 hours. Just know, don't pour your candle, let it solidify, and then burn it and think that you're going to get the right results. Never works that way.
No. No, because you're not allowing that molecular structure to get back together. After 48 hours, everything's back in place. And this is also, you know, considering you have it in a cool place. You know, if you kept it in the sun in down in Miami, you might have a different result after 24 hours. You're going to have a mushy candle, but cool, dry place, you know, sits for 24 to 48 hours. We feel that's plenty.
It'll definitely work. And you will get a very good result to let you get to the next step of testing, which is your burn. And right, that's always the most important.
Right. And we have a whole podcast based on how to evaluate your candle coming up. So again, let's recap for a second. We're going to try to find ourselves a good scale. We're going to find an infrared or a candy thermometer to work well in waxes and the temperatures. We talked about preheating or not preheating your glass. Just it's a kind of a personal preference. Sometimes when you don't preheat, you get the lines. When you preheat, it helps reduce those lines or eliminate those lines. But again, your different wax blends, like Jamie said, may or may not cause those, I call them step lines, as to pour the candle up. Wick recommendations, you know, there are a lot of them out there. Try to narrow it down to one in the middle. And then your cure time, 24 to 48 hours, we think is best. So what we're looking to cover in these upcoming episodes is talking about how to perform tests. We have one or two episodes are just going to be about wicks alone. We're going to talk about waxes and the different additives that go into them. Fragrances, again, that's a lengthy discussion. And we're going to talk about different vessels and how to treat those. And then later on, we'll talk about how to evaluate what you just made and what you're witnessing as you burn your candle. There's certain things you should look out for, certain things you should measure, certain things that or be personal preference, but we'll talk about those. And then we look forward to having a lot of guests on here too, from the different industries, from the manufacturers to the resellers and everything in between. And we're going to talk about entrepreneurship, how to get your business started, you know, all the good things that you have to learn as you go along. We're hoping to expedite that a little bit for you. So we appreciate you guys listening. Jamie and I are going to have a lot of fun doing this. We've got 75 years of experience to spew out there and, you know, share with you all. So any questions, any comments, we'll have a link eventually where you guys can send in your questions for us and we'll hope to answer them for you.
Great wrap up, Joe. Guys, we look forward to working with you and we're only going to make good candles together. All right. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.